Sunday program. Today we're going to have a slightly different program in that we're going to read you a letter. This is a letter to all the devotees of ISKCON, all the devotees and members and friends and everyone who's part of or connected to Srila Prabhupada's International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Let me just ask one quick question first. What about if the people want to go with us?
Are we going to find it on Sunday? Copies of the
letter? So anyone who wants to go
with us? I guess that's fine.
That's the idea. Right. Okay. So yeah. Now, as we said, this is a letter to all the members of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's movement, all the members and friends and everyone connected with the Hare Krishna movement. It's a letter from the governing body, the GBC body, Governing Body Commission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And perhaps some of you might recall that a few years ago, actually it was 1999, the GBC body also wrote a letter, and if I remember correctly, also in 2000, I think there were 2 years, that the GBC body wrote a letter to all the devotees of ISKCON, in which the body means the most senior devotees of the movement who are overseeing the movement in all the different areas in the world and giving the overall guidance and so on for the running and development of the ISKCON movement. So they wrote a letter which explained first and foremost about what occurred at the annual general meeting of the GBC body, which takes place every year just shortly before Gaur Purnima, just shortly before Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. So that was done a few years ago, perhaps some of you remember. And it's been done also this year that the members of the GBC body felt that first of all there's a need to communicate and make available information about the decisions and developments, decisions from the governing body which may affect us, which will affect us, at least in some ways, and also some information, news about what's happening around the movement, what has happened over the last year, what will happen, things that are going on, things that are developing throughout the movement currently. So this is the idea. In that meeting, in the meeting this year, for example, it took place between February the 20th and March the 1st, 10 days. And a number of decisions were made, some of them, of course, very important decisions, which will actually have their effects, noticeable effects on us. So these are called the GBC resolutions. Now those GBC resolutions will be coming out in a little while, and I guess they'll probably be posted on the notice board downstairs, I imagine, something along those lines. So you'd be able to have a look. But they have never really been such a public document, and we haven't really gone out of our ways to make them public and distribute them. But this letter, it is very much like that. It's a public, it's intended as an open letter, completely open, to completely everyone without restriction. And as I said, it does reflect at least the important and more practical and relevant decisions made in the meeting. So it communicates those without going into all the details, which sometimes can be a little difficult to absorb and not so relevant to most of us. So this letter then is trying to present the most important decisions, important developments within the movement, exciting programs that are going on and developing, some problems, bringing to our attention even some problems that are facing us on a broader scale, like those. So this is what we'll read now. It's about 4 or 5 pages long, so just try and listen carefully. And then next week, Sunday, we'll have copies printed, and anyone basically who would like a copy can get a copy, and you can take it home and read it in your own time. And I suppose if you've got any questions, you can ask. You can ask myself or Dr. Tirthamaraj will be here in a few days, as far as we know, something like that. Dr. Tirthamaraj will be here, and so you could have a read through, and if you have any questions, you can ask us like this. So we'll read through this, and then we'll see. Maybe some of you have some questions, and we can take your questions if you happen to have any. If not, or if there aren't many, then we'll see how the time is going, and then perhaps we'll also read a little bit from Bhagavad Gita. Alright, so here we go. The letter to the devotees of ISKCON from the GBC body. Actually, you know what they did? It was actually from the GBC body, really. But some of them decided that it should be presented as coming not from just the body, which is a kind of little impersonal, arguably, but coming from the chairman of the body. So, you know, unfortunately that happens to be me. Sorry about that. So, you know, on paper at least you could say, it's a letter from me. It's not that. It's a very much a group effort, and it was more just in that sense of trying to make it personal that the chairperson's name was attached to it. Okay, here we go. Gopunina, 2003. From Mayapur, Sri Mayapur Dhan. This letter was written in Mayapur. Dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. The relationship between the GBC body and the devotees of ISKCON is important. I and my fellow GBC executive committee members for this year, Pragosh Prabhu, who's the first vice chairman, he's from Ireland, and Devamrita Swami Maharaj, who's the second vice chairman, and Bir Krishna Das Goswami, who is the what is called the duty officer, sort of to deal with special emergencies and special things like that. And there's also His Grace Radhakrishna Prabhu from Bombay, who is the secretary. So there are 5 of us, actually, who make up the executive committee of the GBC body. So I and my fellow GBC executive committee members for this year want to help to cement the relationship between the body and the devotees of ISKCON by being open and communicative about our decisions and working with you for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. With this in mind, we offer you this letter describing the proceedings and main decisions of our most recent meetings in Mayapur from February the 20th to March the 1st, 2003. We came into this year's meeting with the memory of the tragic passing of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj prominent in our minds. Just a year ago, due to pressure of his academic pursuits, Goswami Maharaj attended the meetings for the first time in 6 years. We all looked forward to the prospect of his continued GBC involvement. His sudden departure shocked ISKCON and caused tremendous grief and sadness. As a mark of the great respect and affection that we share for Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and in recognition of his wonderful service to Srila Prabhupada and the GBC body, as this year's first item of business, unanimously passed the following resolution. So this is the resolution in its entirety. So try and listen carefully to this. I think it's very nice. Today, a year after his departure, we reflect on Tamal Krishna Maharaj's many accomplishments in Srila Prabhupada's service. During his 34 years of service, Tamal Krishna Goswami achieved the following. Organized the first wide-scale Harinam and book distribution in ISKCON. Helped pioneer Krishna consciousness in America, Europe, India, and the Far East. Was appointed by Srila Prabhupada to the first GBC body, accepted and maintained vows of sannyas for 30 years, served as ISKCON's first GBC in India for 4 years, secured ISKCON's first property in Mayapur, and participated in the development of Mayapur for the rest of his life. Organized the Radha Damodar Party, one of the most successful preaching and book distribution teams in ISKCON history. Opened China for Krishna consciousness and preached there successfully for over 25 years. Developed model Krishna conscious communities in Dallas and Houston. Cared for Srila Prabhupada as his personal secretary for the final year of Prabhupada's manifest pastimes. Initiated over 1,000 disciples in America, Europe, India, Fiji, the Far East, and elsewhere. Exceptionally well-trained devotees noted for their dedication. Published Jagannath Priya Nataka and several other valuable and important books. Achieved outstanding success in the academic field, earning top honors at Southern Methodist and Cambridge universities. Tamal Krishna Goswami's departure from this world was clearly Krishna's will, coming as it did at an auspicious hour, in an auspicious place. He left this world without suffering, and immediately after completing a period of deep, loving exchanges with his godbrothers and disciples. We, the governing body commissioners of ISKCON, express our profound bereavement at his passing. We miss him deeply, as we glorify his exemplary life and service to Srila Prabhupada. So that was the resolution in honor of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. So now, the next part is called 6 Steps for GBC Improvement. 6 recent organizational and administrative steps have gradually improved the GBC's annual general meeting in Mayapur and its efficiency throughout the year. These steps include 1. GBC Secretariat. The GBC Secretariat organizes the annual GBC meeting and facilitates GBC communications throughout the year. They've helped the GBC be more organized and responsive to inquiries and needs from ISKCON members. The GBC owes a great debt to Mother Divyamba from Bulgaria, who has organized the GBC meetings for the past several years, and to Radha Krishna Prabhu, who runs the GBC Secretariat Office in Bombay. We also extend a special vote of thanks to Kalakanta Prabhu, who is retiring from Secretariat work after 6 years of service. Mother Divyamba will also be leaving the Secretariat to be replaced by Leena Sukha Prabhu from Belgium, whose expertise in administration has proven invaluable to the development of ISKCON's European regional governing body. 2. GBC deputies. In 1997, the GBC established this forum of senior devotees to help the GBC body deal with proposals it receives every year. The deputies scrutinize incoming proposals for relevance and veracity, and pre-digest them prior to their submission to the GBC body. This year, the GBC received approximately 35 proposals. The deputies screened out proposals that were redundant or under-researched, leaving 15 to go to the GBC body. This saved the body an enormous amount of time and energy, allowing it to direct itself to more proactive topics, such as aiding the spiritual development of ISKCON devotees, caring for ISKCON for devotees' needs, writing a constitution for ISKCON, and discussing preaching initiatives that will inspire of only one session of 4 hours, as opposed to previous years when devotees met for 2 sessions of 3 hours each. This allowed much more time for association and spiritual enlivenment. The GBC's dedicated time each day from 5 to 6 p.m. to hear and chant together with any devotees who wanted to join them. Every evening, in the mood inspired by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, just prior to his departure, the devotees would gather together in his room for prolonged, ecstatic kirtan. This proved to make the entire meeting a much more satisfying and enlivening experience for all. In addition to kirtan, there was a sharing of each other's burdens, a rejoicing in each other's triumphs, and a drawing on each other's enthusiasm, allowing everyone to gain strength and inspiration to push on in service to Srila Prabhupada. 4. Alternative dispute resolution. One of the most interesting developments this year was the introduction of mediation for helping resolve difficult interpersonal or managerial issues. In past years, the GBC dealt with such issues by performing time-consuming subcommittees. However, last year, the GBC brought to Mayapur Mr. Arnold Zak, a Harvard professor and renowned professional in dispute resolution. This year, Mr. Zak has helped introduce mediation training courses in ISKCON, so devotees may easily have alternative means of resolving disputes and dealing with intra-organizational tensions. For the first time, mediation was used at these GBC meetings, with the result that a number of issues were happily, expediently, and probably more satisfactorily resolved. This introduction of mediation into our movement, along with a system of ombudsmen, officially designated devotees whom one may approach confidentially for the airing of any grievance, represents a positive development for reducing frustration, improving temple operations, and increasing the satisfaction of ISKCON devotees. 5. Education and training. The GBC body, headed by its ministries of communication and education, is developing training courses, workshops, seminars, and educational tools for helping devotees improve their management and leadership skills, as well as their maturity in interpersonal dealings. Development of such programs is already increasing communication, understanding, and confidence among devotees. Externally, these initiatives also enable us to become more effective and credible in our efforts to spread Krishna consciousness. By becoming appreciated as educators, especially in the West, we can more effectively demonstrate our practical ability to solve world problems by contributing to the fulfillment of the individual's search for spiritual truth. Particularly welcome this past year was the establishment of courses on the Srimad Bhagavatam to prepare devotees for the Bhakti Vaibhava exam. It is essential that all of Srila Prabhupada's followers regularly study his books. Just a little point I should have mentioned. On the previous little section about alternative dispute resolution and this process of mediation, which has already been introduced in some parts of the movement and was used quite extensively at the meetings just a few weeks ago. So the devotees, the trainers, or one of the trainers at least, will be coming here in a little while and will be having a course for training you all, whoever is interested, in mediation. And of course there's the value in terms of just helping us to work out any problems that may crop up between ourselves. But Mr. Zach, who's mentioned here, who incidentally is one of the top people in the world, and believe it or not, he's the main mediation advisor of the South African government. I don't know if that's a good sign or not, but anyway, he's a very prominent man, and he normally charges, $1,500 a day, yeah, for when he holds a seminar. Anyway, he's a very qualified man. So, Rajvi Hari Prabhu, who's very much trained, who's the leader with an ISKCON in this field, he's meant to be coming here in a while, and he'll conduct a seminar for a week or 10 days, something like that. And at the end, devotees will be able to receive, it's an official diploma, which will actually provide employment opportunities. In all seriousness, Mr. Zach said the South African government is just crying out for trained mediators, and it doesn't take a lot to become trained. So it's an interesting thing that some of the devotees like householders might want to look into and then see. Already some of the devotees in America, after just say a couple of weeks of training, are getting employment as mediators with state governments and so on. So Mr. Zag, he works for us. We pay him something, but not, it's like half or a quarter of what he normally gets. And he's about 60 years old or so, and very, very well known all around the world in those circles. And he's very sort of proud of his involvement with the Hare Krishna movement. And he told us that oftentimes, you know, he's with these big people like heads of state. He knows Nelson Mandela well. He knows Thabo and Mbeki very well. And many other heads of state. It's these types of people that he works with. And he said that, you know, oftentimes they ask him, so what are you doing these days? Where have you come from? Where's your next project? So he likes telling them that, oh, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to join the Hare Krishnas and work with them. Yeah, they're getting into this mediation. And, you know, perhaps predictably, I don't know, but in some cases there's a reaction of like, oh, really? The Hare Krishnas? Really? And then he, when that happens, when there's a sort of bit of a surprised response or something like they can't quite accept it, then he likes, his standard response to that is that, yeah, they're a lot more intelligent than you guys. So Thomas, he loves doing that. Because he's such a big man in this field, he can sort of just do things like that. He doesn't have to worry about what they'll think about him or if they're going to drop him or something, because they're not going to drop him. Yeah. Okay, so number six. Topical Visionary Subcommittee Work. As part of the GBC's increasing attempts to work proactively, subcommittees met during the meetings for in-depth discussions on various issues of concern or interest to our movement. Topics included unity in diversity. Srila Prabhupada requested that this topic be discussed every year in Mayapur. Parallel lines of authority. Understanding Srila Prabhupada's vision for the role of the Diksha and Siksha gurus in relation to the ISKCON authority structure. And the future of the GDC. Preparing younger devotees to take up this service for Srila Prabhupada. These topics often converge or overlap, but the consensus amongst the devotees consistently points to an increasing maturity in understanding of how the diverse elements in ISKCON must work together to secure a successful preaching future. Naturally, this is an ongoing process, and these discussions will continue informally throughout the year and will be revised again at next year's annual meetings. Other positive developments. In addition to the above-mentioned six steps for improving its performance, the GBC members this year shared with each other and through the internet some of their... shared with each other and with... there's a little error there. Shared with each other and with the devotees through the internet some of their outstanding accomplishments and plans. For example, Bhakti Marg Maharaj is again crossing Canada by foot this year. Through his demonstration of a simple spiritual life, he hopes to raise awareness of deeper spiritual issues affecting society and capture the imagination of the Western public. His walk will be featured in a CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, television documentary on Canada's national highway. Other GBC members and sannyasis, according to their expertise, are developing seminar courses and educational tools and are gaining access to governments, universities, scientific symposiums, interfaith conferences, all types of cultural events, and even major corporations. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Drutakara Mahaprabhu, and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj are involved in dramatic developments to spread Krishna consciousness through the fields of science, interfaith dialogue, metaphysics, academia, and social development. Several major development projects are taking place in the ISKCON world. In America, Badri Narayan Prabhu has begun work on a 3-stage temple project just outside San Diego, California. This is a project which is going to cost something like $5 million, you know, 40 or 50 million rands. A very major traditional type of temple and cultural center type of project. In Bombay, the Chowpatty temple building is undergoing an extensive refurbishment. And in Tirupati, next to one of the most famous pilgrimage sites in India, ISKCON is building a traditional temple all on the strength of book distribution. Day and night, the devotees there man booths, selling literature in the hundreds and thousands to the pilgrims who flock there. The temple is maintained and is developing solely from book sales. In Kazakhstan, officially a Muslim country, Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj is building a Vedic temple. In Bhaktivedanta Manor, near London, devotees have begun work on an extensive Goshala and have plans underway for a new resource center. In the annual Mayapur Project report, Abhiram Prabhu, the managing director, explained the progress that has been made in preparing for future development. Next March, the project's permanent 7-foot Panchatattva deities are scheduled to be installed in Mayapur. And so that'll be just before Lord Kalina next year. The deities for the big temple, you're familiar with that idea at least, as a proper fitting memorial for Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Krishna and the Yuga avatar for this Kali Yuga. So Srila Prabhupada wanted a fitting temple to be built, meaning a really very substantial, just magnificent temple. So it's been in the planning stage for a few years because there's an immense amount of planning to be done. But just very recently, Ambarish, Alfred Ford, was in India, came with Abhiram, who's a first friend of his. Abhiram was in charge of that, building that Mayapur temple. So Ambarish came to India and toured around here and there because he's one of the owners of the Ford Motor Company. So he was received in a very big way, a really big way, all around India. But he always went in a dhoti and kurta with tilak on. When they asked him what he was here for, are you going to build a Ford plant in India? He said, no, I'm going to build a Hare Krishna temple. So unfortunately, he couldn't stay on until the meetings took place, but he recorded a video, a message. And in that message, he pledged that, you know, he explained that he's become much more enlightened about it, and he pledged that somehow or other, he and his team, Abhiram, Sridhar Maharaj is also a member of that team. So that team, they're pledging that this temple will be built within our lifetimes. So somehow or other got edited out of this letter. It was there before, but we could just mention that. So it's actually going to start happening fairly soon. Then something about some challenges. While appreciating these positive developments, on many fronts, the GBC continues to struggle. Book distribution is down worldwide from a recent peak of 6 or 7 million books in 1996 to around 3 million last year. To address this trend, a special liaison committee was established to improve communication between the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust and ISKCON. Several resolutions were passed, all in the mood of increasing cooperation and reconfirming the importance of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. The legal challenge to some ISKCON branches from lawyer Wendell Turley is an ongoing concern. For legal reasons, more details cannot be discussed in this letter. This is a court case in America, perhaps you've heard of it, involving some child abuse which occurred or is alleged to have occurred in ISKCON, mainly in the 80s, late 70s and 80s, like that. So that case is going on. Anyway, we can't really go into the details, but the case is going on. And it remains a matter of concern. From time to time, the GBC body is confronted with philosophical questions that need to be answered according to Sadhu Shastra and Srila Prabhupada's teachings and example. As a result, last year, the GBC established the Shastric Advisory Council. The council includes several devotees who are well-versed, experienced, non-GBC members who can give objective, insightful, and philosophically sound analyses of various philosophical issues. This year, this council critiqued a paper being circulated in relationship to the Guru in ISKCON. The GBC found the council's critique, in quoting how the GBC put it, adequately addresses the essential points of the paper's arguments concerning the position of the Diksha Guru in ISKCON. Unquote. In many ways, the challenges confronting ISKCON are unique. Not only have we never before dealt with many of the issues facing us today, but never in the history of the Vaishnav world have they had to be faced by anyone. How does a guru, for example, who traditionally, for all intents and purposes, operates as an absolute authority in his own right, so how does a guru function effectively within a worldwide institution led by the collective will of the governing body commission? The fact that ISKCON continues to work through such unique challenges, surviving and in many places thriving after nearly 40 years, 25 of those without the direct guiding hand of Srila Prabhupada himself, is a cause for optimism and confidence. We fervently pray to serve you, sir, to serve you, so together we can successfully execute the great mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we have inherited from Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor Acharyas. Hoping this finds you well and enthusiastic in the service of Srila Prabhupada, I remain your humble servant, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, on behalf of the members of the GBC Executive Committee and the GBC body. Hare Krishna. So, there you have it. A letter to you all from, actually from the GBC body really. Just put in my name. So it's very important. GBC body is very important. You know, we were discussing, there's so many discussions going on, of course, it's just a whole 10 days of discussion all day on so many different things within the meetings, outside the meetings. And one really important point came out very, very clearly, that what is the thing in In very practical terms, what is the thing which is held, which is holding and has held it, is holding this ISKCON movement together, even 25 years after the departure of Srila Prabhupada? So what is it? Our realization was very vividly that it's the GBC body. If it wasn't for the GBC body holding everything and everyone together and working with the devotees and particularly with the senior devotees, then it's very likely that the movement would fragment. We mentioned here, right at the end there, if you notice, how this question of how, what is the relationship between the individual gurus who have their own groups of disciples and the GBC body and the members of the GBC body? Traditionally, the gurus are seen as sort of like absolute entities in and of themselves. So, if there wasn't a GBC body to hold everyone and everything together, then there would be a tendency that, well, the tendency which is already there, I don't know if you noticed, but some of us have, for the groups of disciples just to sort of stick together and not really, certainly not mix as much with other groups of disciples of other gurus as they mix with each other. You know, such tendencies like that, which are natural to some degree, that disciples of one guru will gravitate together. That's, to some degree at least, that's only natural. But, you know, when it becomes too pronounced, then you get fragmentation. And in fact, this is what happened with the Gaudiya Math, the movement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It is simply a whole lot of different organizations under the different gurus. And that's the end of the story. There is no cohesiveness at all. It's literally non-existent. In fact, there's no attempt even for cohesiveness. It's just everyone is doing their own thing and like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he instructed his disciples actually to form a governing body, GBC. And initially they did, but it only lasted about a year or 2 years or something like that. And then it just disintegrated. So the whole thing fragmented and remains fragmented to this day. So in ISKCON, we know very clearly that Srila Prabhupada really didn't want that to happen. So, you know, this is a question, an important kind of subject that the GBC body deals with, is dealing with. How to respect and encourage the affiliation that the disciples have with their respective gurus. We don't want to just have a rhythmic type of situation, if you know what I mean by that, where one's spiritual master doesn't really matter, but we're just all in it together and, you know, it's sort of all one. Now we have to respect that they're individual gurus and the individual disciples will naturally gravitate to their spiritual master and have a special, very special place in their hearts for him. But at the same time, we do actually have to work together. So the GBC body, you know, if you were listening carefully, I realize quite a bit of it was sort of like business talk. So it might not have been extremely inspiring, some of it. But the basic idea is that the GBC body is trying to get away from just like the detailed management and getting involved in detailed crisis resolution to a higher level of proactive discussion, visionary type of work of taking the movement forward and really dealing in deeper ways with the essential issues which are there, which, if they're worked out nicely, will help the movement and help all of us to become encouraged and work more cohesively as a movement and spread Krishna consciousness more effectively. Yeah, so like this, the GPC body is trying to develop systems for getting other devotees involved, getting them to take responsibility. Like here in Southern Africa, we are meant to form what is called a regional governing body. It means it's sort of like a Southern African GPC, something like that, made up of all the leaders from the Southern African area working together and taking the responsibility for developing Krishna consciousness down here, so that it doesn't all just come back to either the individual GPC members or the whole GPC body. So anyway, there's the letter, and next weekend, those of you who like copies, they'll be on the book table, is it, or somewhere? Anyway, we'll be made aware. And if you want a copy, you can get a copy. I wonder if anyone has any questions. Yes.
I'm glad to see that.
Just a sec. We'll just get the microphone so everyone can hopefully hear. Like, you know, we mentioned child abuse, we should have, actually we're meant to have, a child abuse, child protection office, which I don't think we really have, sort of unofficially, but we don't really have. Yeah. So, we need some devotees to come forward, I think. Maybe we need, or maybe like the local management needs to discuss with the devotees, figure out what types of bodies would be very useful, you know, like the first types of bodies we'd like to have, and then call for volunteers, something like that. How does that sound? Is that working? He hopes it happens. Okay. Did you hear that? He heard that. So, yes. Okay, well, we'll encourage that over the next few weeks. See what we can come up with. We could use a few suggestions.
What does that mean? What you're mentioning is that the PDC themselves are listening to the devotees and they should
have
the So similarly, in this level of interaction, we can maybe have that feedback from the devotees. What are they really like to deal with? What are the problems that you said they are spiritual life?
Any other questions, comments? What's this? Oh, it's the board. Okay. Yes.
Okay, it's up to the GC 35 members, 10 members. much more than that.
What we noticed on the GDC body level was that there was a tendency, like, here there's mention of resolving different disputes, that this year it was done through mediation. There was a group of devotees who are trained in mediation by Mr. Zak, and they're not GP, none of them are GDC members, but they were resolving, you know, there were several, you know, quite important disputes going on, which, you know, you wouldn't really have heard of, but they were quite major disputes from all different parts of the world. So normally that would have been deputed to a GBC, a subcommittee of GBC members. Then there's this philosophical matter. Someone, you know, it hasn't filtered through here fortunately, but in America one devotee wrote like an extensive paper sort of criticizing the system of the system of Guru and ISKCON. So now, normally, some members of the GBC body would have been appointed to a subcommittee to answer that. So what it's like is, I'll tell you what it's like. If we look at it here, locally, if it's all just going to come down to the one group, you know, the hands-on managers, so to speak, then, okay, we need, you know, a Gurukul. So who's going to do that? We'll form a subcommittee of Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Bhatta, and Smita Krishna. Okay, we need a Grihastha subcommittee. So who will we make? Okay, that one will have Smita Krishna, Raghunath Bhatta, and Swarup Damodar. Then we need, you know, some other committee, Public Relations Committee or something. So for that, we'll have Raghunath Bhatta, Smita Krishna, and Swarup Damodar. If you get the idea. You know, there's this core group, and they end up, everything sort of comes to them. But what the GBC body is doing, actually, and has done already, to some degree at least, through this mediation process, through the Shastric Advisory Council, which is it's an excellent body, just excellent. And also through the deputies, through these three things particularly, a lot of the work which would have been done by the GBC body, but which didn't have to be, and it sort of bogged them down, it's been delegated out successfully. So here, in this regard, we need to do the same thing. We definitely need to do the same thing. So, you know, how to do it? Well, yes. He is calling for volunteers, and I mean, they also themselves can think and put out the word that we're thinking of forming, you know, a body like the Grihastha Committee, for argument's sake, or, you know, we'd like to have a group call. Those interested can attend the meeting and actually see about getting something started. I got a couple of other related questions and comments here. Here's a nice one. This letter from the GDC is very inspiring. Right here at our temple, we feel the impact of the GBC and Srila Prabhupada's mood of cohesiveness in ISKCON. Thank you. Is there any resolution for direct worship of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj as an icon of ISKCON? Well, not really, in that there's a samadhi in Mayapur and a Pushpa Samadhi at Govardhan Hill, where some worship will go on. Anyway, those samadhis are there. But our resolve is to keep Srila Prabhupada as the focal point within ISKCON, rather than, you know, like developing separate programs of worship for the current gurus. Of course, we have on the Vyasa Puja Day And privately there can be specific worship of an individual guru, but otherwise, generally on a public level, the idea is to keep the focus on Srila Prabhupada. Here's an interesting question. Who are all the GBC members? Who are these people? What do they look like? You know, 10 of them might walk in right now and you wouldn't know at all, isn't it? Anyway, look, you know, the thing is, this is another point that came out in the meetings, that our GBC body is sort of a little faceless, you know, it's kind of an enigmatic entity that nobody can really get a grip on. And actually it was Pragosh, who's the first vice chairman this year, he was making the point that he went out on book distribution during the marathon, and he specifically went to visit some of the main suppliers of his temple that they do business with. So he went to about 10 of these places, fairly big companies, supplying food and, you know, whatever, different supplies. And he said that he found that in about more than half of these places in the reception area, they had a photograph of their board of directors. So, the GBC body, we had our photo taken. Not to be, you know, sort of egotistical or anything silly like that, but we felt there is a need to be more, well, like this letter is saying, more communicative, more open, and more there, and more obviously and clearly there for everyone in this time. So I think, as far as I'm aware, I'm pretty sure, these photographs will be distributed. And can be put up in the foyer or somewhere like that. So devotees can know who are these people, and, you know, it gives a much more intimate mood of connection. Please, may we have a kirtan at the end of class. And here we have a touch, a note of concern. Some years ago, there was a launch of a project at this temple for the construction of a hall. But basically, we haven't heard more about this hall since. So I'm not sure actually what the current situation is. I know it's an idea which is really frequently there. Maybe you want to do the moat first, isn't it? You want to finish, get the moat finished first. When should that be done? Really?